You're listening to episode 258 of Lifestyle Locker Radio with Dr. John Jaquish. Hi, I'm Dr. Josh Hant, and welcome to Lifestyle Locker Radio, where we help you create an awesome life and lifestyle. From nutrition to fitness, mindfulness to peak performance, and relationships to money mindset, we bring you on an amazing journey to help you unleash your human potential. Hey everyone, I want to let you know that I recorded this episode a few months ago on purpose with Dr. John Jaquish. You know, he's the creator of the X3 Bar, which you've heard me mention multiple times in multiple episodes of Lifestyle Locker Radio. If you follow me on social, you've seen my social posts as well, my Instagram stories, Facebook stories, things like this. I love this product. It is so phenomenal that it's small. I've taken it on road trips. I take it to my office where I can work out in my office. 10 to 15 minutes a day is great. Granted, I am a runner. I'm an endurance runner, and it's actually helping. I've not dialed in nutrition the way Dr. Jaquish will talk about in the show and done his specifics, but I'm doing what I do, and I'm getting amazing results. So if you're anything like me and you're interested in getting better, stronger, faster, healthier, this product is great. It's super easy to use. It's super compact. I haven't taken it on a plane yet. It is a little heavy, heavier than I thought it would be when I got it, but it's made really, really well. So, but for road trips, for anything like that, this is a phenomenal tool that I highly recommend everybody get if you are into fitness. If you're into lifting, I haven't been to a gym now in a long time. And I'm getting fitter, stronger, better looking, of course, right? No, just kidding. As we've done this in these 12 weeks. So my pre and post, I've leaned out a bunch. I've kept about the same weight, believe it or not, probably burning some fat and building some muscle at the same time, and feel really, really good. So this episode runs a little long. It's over an hour, just over an hour. So hang in there. It's really, really good. There will be details in the show notes on how to get a $50 discount on the X3 bar. So you can get that at the end as well, or you can scroll in the show notes and get it right away so you can place your order. And enjoy the show. And remember to stick around after to hear about the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program. This is something you can actually plug the X3 bar into when you're not doing your daily simple movements. All right, y'all. I will catch you later. Enjoy the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Lifestyle Locker Radio. We have an amazing guest today. We have Dr. John Jaquish. You may have seen this guy on Instagram. You may have heard of his other companies, but we're going to dive deep. This guy's a wealth of knowledge. And for me, he was so interesting to find him because when he's a disruptor. That's why I wore my shirt today. For those of you that are watching, this guy is going to blow your mind when it comes to fitness and health. So, John, welcome.
Josh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. I'm pumped to have you here because, you know, as an ultra runner, as a guy that spends a lot of time on the road and the trail running, and then I see a guy that breaks all the rules of fitness, breaks some of the rules of nutrition, and I'm going, holy cow, what is this? What's his secret?
Oh, yeah.
So
I do nothing. Nothing I do conventional. The way I eat, how I like, I eat one meal a day. I eat no vegetables. My workout's 10 minutes at home.
Yeah, and for those of you that are listening,
I'm better shape than just about anybody. So
yeah. So yeah. For those of you who are listening, you're gonna scroll down. Just check out his Instagram page, and you're gonna go, wait, this guy eats one meal a day and works out 10 minutes. You're gonna drop everything and listen to what he has to say. That's what's gonna ultimately happen, and that's what really drew me to him as well. And funny thought that I actually didn't mention to you this pre-show. I was at a Tony Robbins seminar actually 2 years ago. I think it was maybe over 3 years ago. And they actually mentioned OsteoStrong, and I didn't put the two pieces to the puzzle together until right now. But we'll get into that in a minute. So would you give just the 3 or 4 minute version of your backstory? You're an entrepreneur, you're in the fitness nutrition world. You're someone that wants to help people just be better. So give us that short story.
Yeah. Well, got my start with life sciences, working on my mother's osteoporosis. So she was diagnosed with osteoporosis. She refused to take the medications because of the side effects. And I understood that, but I didn't see another way to treat it. And she was in her 70s, but she was very active. Like she hiked. I'm talking like 20-mile hikes, not just like walking around.
Wow.
Right. And she played tennis and she gardened and she was very active. And then she was like, well, I can't do anything anymore. I'm going to break a hip. And then I have a 50% chance of death. You have a 50% chance of death within 1 year of a hip fracture if you're over the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know this. So, yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, people, you know, all of a sudden they hear that and they're like, well, I can't go anywhere anymore. Like, I'll fall and break a hip and then my life's over. So I wanted to help her. And then in the process, I developed an impact emulation device or sort of a suite of devices that put axial force on bone and emulate high impact forces. So reversed her osteoporosis. She now has the bones of a 30-year-old and she's in her 80s.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And now she's back to doing everything. No, I mean, she takes like maybe 10 miles now instead of 20.
Listen, that for like a 30-year-old is still a lot.
Well,
for some 30-year-olds, right? Yeah.
People are pretty inactive now. She'll outperform like young people. And she's just doing fantastic. Now, my dad was always healthy, and he's a little bit like that too. So watching what happened with her, and then I took the device to London and I worked with some people with the British National Health Services, the NHS. And so that's the government healthcare. And then some of their people ran a study and I participated in the study from the methods perspective just to make sure they use it right.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to be like part of the data collection, obviously. There's a big conflict of interest. So I observed this study in the observance. I realized that what we do with weightlifting, this is the title of my book.
Yeah.
Weightlifting is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized like we're so much more powerful in this impact ready position than we are in the weaker position that it doesn't make any sense to train with a static weight.
Yeah.
It's a flaw in the fitness, the idea of fitness. Like that's not how we move. That's not how we behave. When we go to pick up something heavy, do we try and use the weakest range? Obviously not. We bypass all that just to use the strongest range. But that's not really lifting much. It's not really engagement. So what we need, because we need full range for blood flow reasons, which give us both the sarcoplasmic muscular growth effect and potentially hypoxia if we keep constant tension. So that really, the reason you want hypoxia is it alters your limitations on muscular growth. It alters your myostatin levels.
Yeah.
So you become genetically different in that you can hold muscle when you downregulate myostatin. So realizing that we needed full range, but there's no getting away from training heavy. Because that's where testosterone comes from, heavy loading.
Mm-hmm.
So it needed to be both heavy and high repetition. So that meant what we needed to change the weight as we move. So, and it was just obvious to me. Now, when I, then I thought, well, you know, band training's been out there a long time, but I saw the flaw in band training immediately. Because a lot of people say, well, I like bands. Mm-hmm. And generally, those are pretty weak people because you can't get enough relevant force through a muscle with just bands because bands twist your wrists and they twist your ankles.
Uh-huh.
So if you step on a band and try and do a deadlift, your ankles are twisting inward. It only takes 7 pounds of lateral pressure to break an ankle. Ask an NFL player. They all know that.
Yeah.
Right. It ends their career if that happens. So you really don't want lateral pressure in the joints. And it doesn't really matter anyway, because if you're a normal person and you have a normal functioning neurology, you have something called neural inhibition, which is your body shutting your muscles off to stop you from what you're trying to do because it's hurting you. Because it either has potential to create damage or it's in the process of creating damage. So, you know, so like people who are stuck in a like a bench press level and they feel like their shoulders ache after they bench. It's like, yeah, there's chronic damage in there for years of heavy benching. And you either got to wait for that to heal up and then not bench again, or just not bench again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you only really have one option, because it's that same weight throughout the entire range of motion that's hurting you. So you need to be able to vary the weight. So like when I do a chest press, I'm holding 100 pounds at the bottom, 300 pounds in the middle, and 550 at the top. And that's what that looks like as I go through that range of motion. And that's the way we should train. That's the only way we should train. And I would never go back to lifting weights. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time, and it's destructive on joints. In fact, Peter Attia, I don't think he ever went down this path, but you know who Peter Attia is. Dr. Attia, he says, I don't really love weightlifting because it overloads joints and underloads muscle. So he had made the same observation I had. He just didn't have the data I did when conducting that clinical trial in London. And so I looked at the data and I thought, I'd be a fool not to do anything about this. Like, I already had a business. And I kind of thought, like, maybe I just want to, like, give the idea to someone else and have them run with it, and they can just pay me a royalty and I could just sit on a beach. Because that was kind of my thing with OsteoStrong. Like, I had the science handle. I went to a number of international conferences for the first couple of years to really establish it. And then, you know, it's like helping the locations, answering questions. That's all I really had to do. So it looked like smooth sailing, but I don't like putting my feet out.
And yeah, I don't get that from you.
I enjoy getting things done. And
yeah.
Now, the biggest difference is the marketing of the two. So when you have evidence and you show a medical doctor you have evidence, they say, wow, this is fantastic. I will definitely send my patients to OsteoStrong locations. Now, getting them to pay attention to the data, that can be a challenge.
Of course.
But right. Because they get bombarded with all kinds of crap. Their patients walk in all day, every day, and they're like, hey, I started taking this. There's a product I saw yesterday, like powdered ATP.
Right.
And it's, you know, like it lists all the miracle benefits. And the doctor's like, oh, yeah, don't take this. Just throws the printout right in the trash. Just exercise. Just don't waste your money on this. So, and I mean, maybe if I had read deeper into the ATP, I just thought like that was really weird. Like,
yeah,
body does a great job of making its own ATP. Why would you take it? And it makes as much as it needs. There's no deficit.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was really weird. It's probably just table sugar.
Well, sugar and caffeine. Here you go, baby.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's pre-workout then.
Yeah.
It's just pre-workout. Everything's pre-workout with a different label. So I knew I needed to launch this. And then so I went to a couple of other fitness companies to see they wanted to partner with me. And it was funny. They're like, wait a minute, you want to make a scientific argument to a fitness community? Don't do that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, fitness people are stupid. Like real stupid, like the dumbest people you can imagine. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm not going to overwhelm them with science. I'm sure they'll read a paragraph or two. I was wrong. They're not intelligent enough for even a paragraph.
Hmm.
They can't. They just can't do it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so immediately we pivoted towards busy executives, people who want to optimize their time.
Yeah.
So once you target smarter people, guess what? You can make a smarter argument. So yeah, I mean, when somebody's like, I've been working in fitness and I read your book and it changed my life, it's like, oh, a smart person. Okay. So, but you know, the typical like person on bodybuilding.com, like just like so unbearably stupid. And I get a lot of, you know, you see the messages, half the words are misspelled,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they'll be like, you're dumb, and they misspell your and dumb. And I leave those up. Those are great. It's just like, cool.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting though, right? That people, I mean, there's been like a paradigm, right? That's been around for so long, that that a shift, like a pivot in the paradigm, is scary to most people. Because, you know, if you're told you got to do 90 minutes in the gym, a body part a day, to try to get these results.
Well, but here's the problem. Like, we're dealing with stupid people. So intelligent people will say, somebody says there's a better way of doing it. Let me read what that guy has to say before I judge.
Yeah.
Right. Great. I mean, that's what you and I would do.
That's why I'm bringing you here, because I want to know this
stuff. Right. That's what you did. That's what most normal people do. But the real mouth breathers out there, if it doesn't, because they're not capable of understanding new concepts. So the bottom 20th percentile, as Professor Jordan Peterson explains, they are only qualified to push a mop. Like, if they have they drive a vehicle for a living, they'll crash the vehicle and kill people. Like, with very short order. Like, they're dangerous human beings. So these are the people who are mopping the floor or digging a hole or something like that. And so they actually are incapable of grasping new concepts. So they do what they do because they copy what the person next to them does. Mm-hmm. So will they ever use X3? Yeah, probably when, you know, their neighbors are growing more muscle than they are. They'll be like, oh shit, they won't even make the connection.
Yeah.
That they had a problem with it earlier. They probably won't even remember. I mean, these people are like a fucking moth, you know, just flying in circles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it certainly is entertaining, because like, I always try and get more attention to the really dumb comments. And especially if their name, like if they're like an intentional troll account, like if their name is like Billy Badass or Mickety Mike or something like that, it's like, okay, this is like not even a real, like their real account got deleted by Facebook. They were so stupid and, you know, making such asinine comments. It's like, oh, please don't get kicked off Facebook a second time, because I want everybody to see just what kind of people have a problem with my work.
Yeah. Being a disruptor is, I mean, if that's how the world grows and we get better and that things can actually shift and change. And I truly believe, you know, in my scrolling, if you will, on social and finding you, you know, like you said, I like to question things, not that I'm like trying to be mean, but I want to know, like, I'm really interested when I see someone that's, you know, like a David Goggins that got pushed, this guy goes beyond beliefs. I listen and learn. I see someone like you that's saying we can do things in this, you know, short period of time. Like, holy crap, this is like, there's gotta be something to this. It's either gimmicky or there's science behind it. And I know I want to touch on this for a second, because pre-chat, before we went live here, you mentioned NASA. That's like this little company, for those that haven't heard of it, right? Right down to
small government agency.
Small, yeah. Right? So
yeah, they do a study.
Yeah. So can you share a little bit on this, on what you were talking about with me earlier, like just briefly?
They're trying to look at what's going to be best for extended space travel. So I was on a panel a couple years ago talking about how we get to Mars. Mm. Now, we have the technology to build a space vehicle that will get there and come and be able to come back. There's some complications of loading the vehicle on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be tough, but it can be done. So what do we need? The two biggest challenges from the human life perspective, from the life sciences perspective, are radiation. Let me tell you, like, Star Wars is a great series, but we will never travel through space like that.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to imitate gravity. Not in our lifetimes. Like, it's possible.
Yeah.
We're not going to build a vehicle that does that. And like, just hopping on a ship and just blasting off and going to another planet, never going to happen. There's way too much stuff. The radiation outside of the Earth's atmosphere is just, it just kill you.
Yeah.
So you got a shield from that radiation. So what shields from radiation best? Lead. So you want a heavy space vehicle? If you're planning on lifting off the gravitational pull of a planet? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have enough fuel. So it's the protection from the radiation that's like the that's one of the biggest things. And the other one is to keep from having bones just dissolve, because you typically need activity, high impact activity based on gravity. Like, we are alive on our planet and can thrive here. But if we just alter the gravity a little bit, we start to fall apart.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We're meant for Earth.
Yeah.
And unless we find an Earth 2 that's exactly the same, it's not going to be good for us.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the bone density, they experimented with osteostrong and saw amazing results in a very short period of time. And they did blood marker tests and DEXA.
Okay.
DEXA is the gold standard.
Yeah, course. the bone density, like, yeah.
Right, but it's not a very accurate test is the problem. So then they did blood marker tests, which are very accurate. And so they could tell by the bone turnover markers, the CTX and the BAP tests that look at anabolic activity in bone and catabolic activity in bone. There's always both going on. Yep. You want the ratio of anabolic to be higher than catabolic.
Yep. Build up versus breakdown. Yep.
Right. And, you know, like it does end up reversing itself, but it doesn't need to until you're very elderly. So yeah, at some point, like, it's going to reverse itself. So, but they wrote something in this paper. It said, if exercise apparatus could be condensed to the size of a shoebox to meet the weight and volume restrictions imposed by NASA, it could potentially serve as a countermeasure for bone and strength loss on exploration vehicles. Now, they're talking about extended exploration, like Mars. So, because you don't, you're up there a couple of days and it's not going to hurt you. Well, I mean, it will hurt you, but you can recover when you get back to Earth. But if you're out there for a really extended period of time, you got to rebuild your bone on a regular basis.
Yeah, I remember growing up, right, hearing about this, like astronauts coming back deconditioned, you know, atrophied muscles, bone density decrease, all of this stuff. I mean, you know, I wasn't even into the sciences as a kid, and you hear about all this stuff.
Right.
But, I mean, Mars is a different world. I mean, we're not going to the moon. This is like that much farther.
Yeah. So that's a very promising thing that NASA had to say, and we're working hard on it.
Yeah. I mean, so let's talk about this, because I know, obviously I keep mentioning Instagram and seeing your videos that keep showing up in my feed, the device X3, not necessarily a shoebox, but, you know, maybe Andre the Giant shoebox.
Like, well, it doesn't massive, need to finish the box. It needs to be the weight and volume.
Oh, the weight. Ah, okay.
It's the weight and volume of a shoebox. So if it's longer and thinner, I mean, yeah.
Exactly. It's just dimensions. But that's so neat. Let's go into this product, because that's what really intrigued me to have this conversation. And then we mentioned like band workouts. You mentioned all like the torquing and everything. I know that personal experience. I've used them and I still use them, and I probably won't be using them anymore at this point after this conversation. But you know, you have bands on your device, this X3 device. It's, you know, you go through it, but what I've seen is like a stainless steel or steel device. Right. It's
anodized aluminum.
Anodized. So ultra lightweight. Right. So easy, rust proof ish type of thing. But we have these bands that hook up to it. So what's the difference? What's like, why do you get the results that you're getting personally, and then the people that use it versus like
most people that use it, they put on 20 pounds of muscle in less than 6 months.
Okay.
And that is totally unheard of. And these are drug-free people. These are just regular, like, you know, lawyers and
me,
bankers and
me,
drivers, like long-haul truck drivers, chiropractors. Yeah. In fact, we have a chiropractor in our group he's a perfect human specimen now that he's been using X3. It's shocking how conditioned this guy is. Yeah.
So what makes the product so good? Like, what makes it so different that, like, how are people getting these results? Like, how are you getting this shift of a change, like muscle build? I know we went into some of the science just before, but when, like, the naked eye, that person that's not, like, that you said, right, that we'll some be leaving those comments.
X3 and they see weight training and they're like, I don't get it. What's the difference?
Yeah. So let's go into that, because I think that's important. That's really important.
I'll give you the simple explanation, and then I'll give you the complicated explanation.
Okay.
So everyone wants a simple explanation is X-ray allows you to train with more force, much more force. Like I will hit that 550 pounds in my chest press over 20 repetitions. So I get the benefit of putting 500 pounds through my chest 20 times. And this is all in one set, by the way. Mm-hmm. And there's 300 in the middle, 100 at the bottom. Then I go through diminishing range. So I can't get to the top. I can't get to the 550. It's just too heavy. But then I do reps with the 300 pounds. This is still all in one set, no rest. And then I'm evacuating the ATP, glycogen and creatine phosphate. And you know, then I finally go to fatigue at the last repetition. So back to the simple explanation, because that was a little more complicated.
Yeah.
Simple explanation, you train with way more force and way more repetitions. So you go to a much deeper level of fatigue.
Okay.
What happens with that? Well, we know more growth. Like the more you can fatigue a muscle, the more growth there is.
Okay.
So and that's why, like even now, like I see, like I've got to be close to my growth potential being, you know, I'm a TRT patient. I'm pretty open about that. But also R in TRT means replacement. So I have a natural level of testosterone. I got in a rugby accident, which affected my test. I just, you know, hitting the crotch. You know, you're supposed to wear a steel cup, but can you sprint with a steel? And I'm really fast. So no, nobody wears one.
A steel cup. I never, that's crazy.
Yeah. Like the Thai kickboxing.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that. You can't sprint that shit in your pants. That fucking sucks. So I'm a natural athlete and I've ended up putting on 60 pounds of muscle in 4 years. So since I turned 40 and I'm 44 now.
Okay.
So I'm around 240 pounds. I've lost about 20 pounds of body fat.
That's impressive. That's very, very impressive.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm in, like, I also work with 16 NFL players and two NBA teams. Miami Heat even endorsed the book. You can read their endorsement on the back of the book.
Yeah.
And they let me use their name. Like teams never do that.
Yeah.
They let me do it because the strength coach was like, yeah, this thing has totally changed our team. Also, they're the least injured team in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also want to say this though, because I know on social we'll see this like in advertising, like Tom Brady actually uses your product, but he promotes his product. How does that work?
I don't know. Ask him. So there are many professional athletes. So the professional athletes that are on my website, they endorse the product for free. So I don't take paid endorsements. So somebody's like, oh, I'll endorse your product, but I need however much money. It's like, it doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with people. I got to tell them who was paid and who wasn't. And I'm like, a paid endorsement just doesn't mean it. Like, look what happened. Like Under Armour gave Dwayne Johnson millions of dollars. I don't remember how many. It was 20, 40,
probably.
Right. And he became their spokesman and they went out of business like 3 months later. Now they've restructured and they're going to make a comeback. But like, I just don't think the paid endorsement really does a lot.
Yeah. You're getting a testimonial is what you're getting. Essentially.
Yeah. Like basically great testimonial. So they give me a picture.
Yeah.
And you know that they say that this is my strength training program.
Yeah.
And so you go there and you see 40 athletes on the website. And can you say that about another home fitness product?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So like, I can't think of a home fitness product that the legitimate professional strength athlete uses at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of them have paid endorsers, like TRX had a couple, but like, you know, it's not the guy's workout. It's like, he's just like in the ad.
Yeah. So this is the interesting thing for me, because this 2020 was a crazy year. You know, I went to a gym, I lifted, I trained, I ran a lot. And then 2020 hit, my gym disappeared. Now I don't have a home gym right. And then for me, I was like, holy shit, I got to spend part of my New York, but I got to freaking spend like multiple thousands of dollars if I want to build a gym. And I'm like, I just don't want to do that. Like right now, business is uncertain.
A real home gym costs thousands.
Yeah, like exactly. And I didn't want to do the cheap version. Like I've moved my body for my whole life.
I mean, you just got some like selectorized dumbbells and a bench.
Yeah.
You know, you probably break the home bench because those things are manufactured, you know, out of beer cans and duct tape.
Yeah. But that's so what intrigued. But that's what intrigued me when I saw just like more recently saw your product, saw the X3. There's that, but then also like I was like, okay, I'm a runner. I'm not a professional runner. I'm not a paid runner, but I love the trails. I love the woods. And I normally pre-race weight, I weigh about 200 pounds. But I, you know, race weight, I get down to like 170, but strength is super, super important. And most runners don't even pay attention to their strength, which is essential, to, you know, remove like, instability, to remove injury. Like you can prevent a lot of these things by being strong. And like, how would X3, because I've watched tons of videos, how would it help the runner? Because I see guys like you, they're using it, right? Like you're a 240 pound guy that could bench press or press with this device 500 pounds. Like, I don't necessarily know if I want to do that. I probably, you know, eventually could work my way up, but I want to be strong as heck so that I can, you know, run hard or push through the BS of like the bonk that happens with a lot of athletes and running. Mm-hmm. But I want to be the guy that shows up in a race that they look at me and go, what is this guy doing here? He doesn't look like the 140 pound, 6'2" runner.
Right.
So how would it impact runners?
So ultimately, and I got so many people angry at me when I said this last week, but I made an Instagram post and I said, you really can't be a great endurance athlete and a great strength athlete. They're opposing goals.
Okay.
Because one of them, you're upregulating cortisol. And what does cortisol do? It sacrifices muscle. Mm-hmm. It gets rid of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go on long runs, you're losing muscle.
Mm-hmm.
When you do training, you're losing muscle.
Yeah, fair enough.
Now, is there a way where you can sort of cycle in preparation? Like you do some strength training with X3, you build some quadriceps. And also I suggest really focusing on the deadlift for the traps because that's stability.
Yep.
That you get in the upper body, that's less energy used
when
it's a nominal amount of forces required to just stabilize your upper body. And then I would go into the regular ultra marathon training.
Yeah.
And do these long runs and then, but you got to time it so that you don't lose all the musculature by the time it's racing. Your times are going to be better. Also, I believe there's a much greater cardiac health. And the reason I believe now, and I'm not quoting science here. I almost never say my opinion. I don't really have an opinion. I will tell you what the science says. So, but this is something I've just observed. So it's not something I'm not quoting a study. I've observed that X3 users have a scary kind of endurance, like from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is going on is the level of fatigue that happens to the cardiac muscle in these diminishing range sets is so intense that the cardiac muscle becomes much more powerful than with standard training.
Yeah.
Now I would need to prove that with more than an echocardiograph.
Yeah. Data somehow, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I would want to talk to a cardiac researcher, to really get that done. But it's like, it's a kind of a layman's explanation.
No, I mean, it makes
I've observed it. People are like, I put on 20 pounds of muscle and I can now like run further.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be worse? And I'm like, yeah, you should be worse. Like all the research would say you're going to be a worse runner by putting on muscle. And because running is trying to sacrifice muscle, it's trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
I was saying that, you know, I train very differently than most people. I'm not the guy just run. Like I find a lot of benefit in strength, a lot, you know, I always have as a runner. Like I'm not the the tiny guy that shows up at the race. I am the person that tends to get looked at. I'm not the biggest guy there, but I always finish. And people like, how do you have the energy? I go, I don't, I'm not spending all day every day putting 5, 10, 20, whatever miles in. Like, I will show up and, you know, back in the day, I was into CrossFit and I was into other things. Like, I would squat, I would deadlift, and I would, I would do all of the body weight work. And I was just so much stronger. And it would help me just like the day after too, right? Like, the recovery was that much better because I was stronger. Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't totally smoked. And I see people that finish a marathon when I'm finishing a 50K, 50 miler, 100 miler that are cooked after, you know, 26.2. And I'm like, I feel great. I can go show up and adjust patients in 2 days, you know, no issue. So yeah. I think there's definitely something to be said with strength. And you know, I guess there'd be a good test, you know, like me to put strength and weight on, if you will, or muscle on, and see how it has a huge impact on my running. I mean, yeah. I gotta be my own test dummy. So
that'd be great if you could do that. It'd be super.
Yeah, because I mean, I ideally, I'm not looking for a shortcut. I'm looking for the right cut, if that makes sense. You know, like there's a better way.
Yeah, it's funny. I constantly get accused of saying like my way is easy, or X3 is easy. And you just build all the muscle you want. I've never used the word easy, to describe it. Never.
Yeah,
like people just make shit up. Like, I never said it was easy. In fact, like Dr. Sean Baker, he's a world record deadlifter in indoor rowing.
Okay.
And when he goes to like those championships every year, he takes first place. And this guy's like in his mid to late 50s. So he uses X3 and he says it's the hardest workout he's ever had in his life. Now it's quick, but like at first I was like, I don't really love that. Like, did you left that out? But nobody tells Baker what to say. Baker's going to say what Baker says.
And
I love that about him. That's great. Well, it turns out that actually put sales through the roof. Mm-hmm. Because when people realize it was difficult, they're like, oh, it's real. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, so like, I won't walk away feeling like I had a band workout, which is, you know, when this is when people grab, they're thinking of like, you know, a 10 pound band, and you know, they could do exercise with it all day long, or 20 pounds, and you do exercise with it all day long, nothing would happen to the physiology. Yeah. And they're right. Yeah. Are bands by themselves worth it? No, they're a waste of time too. And I explain that in the book.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense, because I think so many people are looking for a shortcut. They're looking for an easy way. Does that one group of people, and then the other group thinks that you need to spend like all day to create the same result? Yeah. Like, there's like the steroid user versus, we'll say, like the person that's looking for like, I know I got to spend like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I got to spend 24 hours in a gym back in the day. Like, this is like two head spaces. And I think just wrapping our heads around that, there doesn't need to be a cheat, and that's probably a bad word. But if you're able to do something efficiently, like with X3, like the way you're just been describing, and being proactive, obviously they've seen it in the research with OsteoStrong. I mean, like, if they're able to help people that have this horrible bone density, and astronauts are thinking about using this with astronauts, why would it not work for everyday person? Like, does it make sense?
Perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But most of the negative comments, they don't have anything to do with science. Like I told you, people weren't smart enough to even understand anything scientific. Yeah. It's jealousy.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of like psychological research on internet haters, and it just turns out they're losers.
Yeah.
They're just angry that they have not achieved anything. Therefore, when they see someone who has achieved something, they're hateful. But that's their problem. It's not my problem. Like, hey, sorry, you're a loser.
Yeah.
Well, try my heart.
Yeah.
Go back to school.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's really neat that, you know, for like the entrepreneurs that are listening or watching, that, you know, time, I hate the word time is money, but like time can be used efficiently. And if you can get the same results in 10 minutes that you can get in 90, why would you not better results?
Better.
Better results. Okay, there you go. If you can get better results in 10 minutes versus 90, would you not do it? It's like, if I'm going to give you, you know, it doesn't make sense. So,
well, I've noticed, and this is why I try and stay away from sort of the, you know, quote, like bodybuilding. I say fitness, but it's really the bodybuilding kind of crowd. Hanging out at the gym seems to be a huge point of interest for them.
Social aspect.
Like literally killing time standing in a gym. Like, I guess talking to their friends. So, but you know, for those people, they're not going to understand X3 anyway, so I don't care what they do.
Yeah. I guess it's true. I mean, it's, yeah, they're, I guess it's a social, it becomes a social aspect versus just the purpose behind it.
Well, I know some IFBB pros who go to the gym because their mindset is like, this is the place where the work gets done. They set their gym bag down. They take their X3 out. They don't touch a piece of equipment. They just use X3, put their X3 away, and then they go home.
Yeah.
They're literally just using the rubberized floor.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the physiological, like, right?
Right. I mean, Mr. USA in 1992, Gajal Miku, and he just went back and got runner up in the Mr. USA Masters, like this, just a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Doesn't touch anything other than X3. Won't even touch it. Won't even do one set. Won't even screw around with it. No, because he says, all this stuff is here to injure you. I'm here for results. So I use X3. But he goes to the gym sometimes just because he likes the mindset.
Yeah.
And but he's like, it makes me kind of laugh because I see all these people doing exercise that I now know are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And they're just doing it. And then they're kind of looking out of the corner of their eye, like, what's that gigantic dude doing? Looks like he's really struggling with them. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Because like when he does a deadlift, it's 600 plus pounds.
Yeah. And that's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. And I think just like physiological, but the, for me, when I lost a gym, it was like the psychological, like that, the routine. Like I didn't have that routine anymore. And I can get where, like, you know, a bodybuilder or someone like that would want to be there. But I could tell you what, I'd rather be right outside my podcast studio here for 10 minutes a day, even before I even get to my office. I can get a better workout in 10 minutes. I don't have to worry about coming home and doing something else like late at night.
Why the hell? You don't even, like, I sweat while I do it, but I don't sweat enough. I need to take a shower.
Yeah.
You know, there's usually sweat on my face.
Yeah.
Probably other places that I don't really keep track of, but you know, I just crank the air conditioner and that's fine.
Yeah. So let's just finish with this. So best places for people to find you. I mentioned Instagram 100 times already. So we already know Instagram, and I'll put the link down there below. What's best website?
So I created a landing page because people have trouble spelling my last name. Okay. So it's drj.com, DOCTOR, the letter J.com.
Cool.
And all my links are there. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook.
Everything's there.
Yeah. Anything you want to know.
Link to the book. My book. The link to the book's there.
Book is there. Wall Street Journal bestseller. Still number one in men's health. It's been out like 6 months. It's still the number one bestseller on Amazon.
There you go. Well, there must be something in it that people want to read.
Well, you know, I there's still some negative reviews on the book, and they're like, you know, the negativity, like I said, it's all from jealousy, you know, like this guy's a liar and this guy's a jerk and he has a stupid haircut, whatever.
Yeah, I like your haircut, actually.
Yeah, I like yours. Yeah, man, it's just like one, but you read them in the, oh, and the other big criticism is this book is just an advertisement for a product. It's 264 pages with 250 scientific references. It might talk about justification for the creation of a product in about 20 pages of the 260 plus, but like also, why the hell would I have written a book if there wasn't some other business model kind of behind it? Nobody makes money writing books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are these people unaware of marketing?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, product. I make no apology of that. In fact, in the description of the book, like the guy, you know, the strength coach from the Miami Heat talks about X3. So it's pretty obvious. So they're either just being trolls or they didn't read the basic description before they bought the book. So then you're reading a review from a stupid person. So you probably shouldn't read that review or consider it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's like right in the description, like front and center. It says X3 like four times on the page.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I didn't know it was about, like I said, only 20 pages are actually about the product. The rest of it is about your physiology and why you would want to use variable resistance as opposed to static resistance, why you would want to eat meat as opposed to some of the other things that we've been told are good for us that aren't.
Yeah. So you're challenging people's perception or paradigm they've lived in. And that's, you know, I could tell you, I mean, it's, you know, as a chiropractor, I get it every single day. Right. You know, right. Like I'm an outside the box. We don't use medicine. We don't into all of this stuff. So it's like, well, what do you do? And I guess, you know, in your world, in the fitness world, in the physiology of fitness world, you know, there are the norms, if you will. And I think breaking out of that norm is something that
they
can make some huge changes.
The norms have nothing to do with science, like cardio and weight loss. There is 40 years of research that will tell you the cardiovascular exercise will preserve body fat and sacrifice muscle.
Yeah.
So it's the opposite of what people think they're getting.
Yeah, of course.
It's been around for 40 years, yet people just blindly go into gyms and spend hours and hours on the treadmill. And I'm looking at them like you're just wasting your time.
Yeah.
Like you didn't start running because you wanted to lose weight.
No.
You want to start running because you want to be able to run 100 miles.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That I could do it.
And if you want to do that, you've got to run. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially on race day. You got to run.
You got to run. Exactly. No, but and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that because is this something I'll do with my whole life? I don't know. But I could tell you that my health becomes my priority from how I eat, what I eat, to what I think, to what I do, to how I lift, to all of these pieces of the puzzle are essential to a good lifestyle. And I mean, that's why I have my show. Because I get to learn from experts like yourself that are, like my shirt, a little disruptive to the norm. And that's what I want. It needs to happen. And I think ultimately society is really looking for it. I think they're essentially a little afraid to bend outside the box a little bit because nobody's doing it. There's one guy that's got this thing that's so different. Mm-hmm. And but that's how professions start, right? Like it's a cool thing. It's something I think you should be humbled by.
Who was the first guy? Palmer?
D.D. Palmer, yeah.
Yeah, it started with one guy.
A crazy guy with a crazy thought.
Yeah. That's a lot of why I point to, now there's research that supports it in the book, 250 studies that support what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So when somebody's like, you just made all this shit up. It's like, well, what about all those things? I'll tell you what. Give me a document where one by one you refute each study that I use and tell me what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Let me know when you get through all 250 of them. I'll never hear from that asshole again.
Because people are not going
to. They won't even be able to go through one because they're stupid people. Right. And anyone who's smart is going to go, maybe I should read that book. Because, like, that guy's making a bold claim. I want to see what he has to say.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So, I don't mind being a disruptor.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, you get a lot of haters. Well, I mean, a lot of people are afraid of it. Oh, when I told my friends what I was going to do, they were like, no way, dude. Like, you already have a successful business with OsteoStrong. You do not. Like I told you, some of the guys that had other fitness companies, and they're like, you can't do it. Like, that market is not intelligent enough. Like, science and fitness just won't go together. And they're like, you know, look at, because they brought up the whole, because we talk about this stuff all the time. These are friends of mine that have been in the fitness industry. And I don't even consider myself part of the fitness industry. I kind of barely see an industry there. It's more like products and gym memberships that are being sold. Like, really, other than a gym membership, which is just time in a building, What are they selling? I guess there's a little bit of it's personal training.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of that I question also. You know, like, are you paying for somebody to talk to while you work out? Or is that person giving you better results? Or are you such a lazy slob, you can't motivate yourself, so you need to have someone standing right next to you? You have somebody wipe your ass? You know what I mean? Like, where is this industry? I'm just curious, because I don't see an industry at all. I just see like shitty product chaos. And shitty service chaos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we see that in every industry, though. I mean, ultimately, like, we can see the garbage that shows up everywhere, and we can see the light in certain other things. So, like, to finish this up, I think, like we mentioned, the sites where people can find you. If you were to give three simple answers to this question, I would appreciate it. So, if you can tell someone to do three things to help them unleash their human potential just a little bit more tomorrow. Minus X3, we already know that's one of the answers. But minus X3, what would be three things you'd say, do this tomorrow and you'll have a better life, you'll have a better day, you'll be healthier? What would you say?
I'd say read The Carnivore Diet by Sean Baker, or The Carnivore Code by Dr. Paul Saladino. Baker's a physician also. So two MDs that wrote books. They have a little bit different take on what to eat, but basically the point of both books is really understand where your nutrition comes from and what is building cells. What is building cells in your body? Not just muscle. Mm-hmm. Like, what's building brain cells? What's building just your tendons, your ligaments? Like, it's not vegetables. Ever. So you got to understand now, do people want to go full carnivore? I don't know. I mean, I did, but if somebody doesn't want to do that, I've heard Baker say, like, if you just get 70% of your nutrition from animal-based stuff, then you're way better off.
Yeah. So you get the carnivore right now, diet. Yeah.
The standard American diet is 70% plant-based. So when someone says plant-based,
95% garbage-based.
Sure, but garbage, the garbage food that you're talking about, the processed food, is made out of plants and vegetables. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that. Like, when you refine plants and vegetables, when you refine wheat grain, turn into something else, what do you have? A cracker?
Yeah.
That's garbage too. Mm-hmm. So right now we're 70% plant-based and we're fatter and sicker than ever. So when somebody says, well, we need to be 100% plant-based, really? So 70% is killing us, but if we go 100%, we're going to be better. You sure about that? That sounds stupid. That doesn't make any sense at all. And of course, it's all driven by emotion and, you know, the ludicrous idea that cows are like creating methane, which is destroying the atmosphere. Like, there's a basic logic that should be there. Like, it's an animal. Like, we had twice as many bison in this country, in the United States, than we do cattle. So were they creating methane? But also, these types of people like compost. Well, composting creates methane too. In fact, you don't even need to do composting. When a tree falls down and dies in the woods, it starts to decompose. Guess what it gives off? Methane. There's methane everywhere. You can't do anything about it. If methane is truly destroying the ozone layer, and of course, proportions count in this.
We can go down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah, they don't acknowledge any of that shit. So, because it's an emotional argument, so they're just throwing a tantrum. But if decomposing plants, which is what happens to all plants, create methane, then maybe methane is nothing to worry about, unless you want to get rid of all plants, which would, of course, extinguish all life on the planet to protect the ozone layer. That doesn't sound like a worthwhile trade to me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Listen, we can go down a big rabbit hole here for everybody, which we don't need to do that. Right? Because it is a rabbit hole, right? Like, not as good or bad, it just is, right? Because it's a global, it becomes this global, like, conversation. But so we got to read the two books, right? You mentioned what else?
The next thing is start time restricted eating.
Okay.
Like your intestines need to rest and they need to recover and they need to replace their old cells that aren't working. And that makes your digestion more efficient. And it creates autophagy, I mean, cellular growth.
All of
it, just for the listener, I know you know.
Yeah.
So like, that's why I eat one meal a day. So I get the benefit of, and it's really towards the end of that fast where you're getting the most benefits. And I'm actually, now I'm not recommending this. I'm just saying that's what I'm doing. I'm doing 20-hour dry fasts. So I eat in a 4-hour window, eat and drink. So I might drink like the whole you need 2 liters a day thing. That's based in zero science. That's nonsense. So I probably have like 1.5 liters of water in that 4-hour period of time. And then, you know, I'll eat maybe 0.5 pound or 1 pound of meat. And then I have my Fortigen in that window too.
Okay.
I start with Fortigen usually during my workout. And then I do the hyperplasia protocol and then what I have to eat. And then pretty much at the end of my meal, I'm done drinking too. And then add it again for 20 hours, no food, yeah. No water. Yeah. And so like that has got me so lean. Like I can see all my abdominals. I can see veins in my abdominals. That's how lean I am. So I think between carnivore and intermittent fasting, mm-hmm. Huge. The third thing I would recommend is when you go to research something, this is going to be the hardest one. This will be the one that people don't do. But I'm going to tell them anyway. You have to keep in mind, you're looking for the real answer when you're trying to understand something, not looking for the answer that pleases you. So news outlets have shown us, since they got a little unregulated, I think this was during the Clinton administration, we could have biased opinion shows. Now, they're clearly marked as opinion shows, but people want the news that makes them feel better. So conservatives want conservative news. Liberals want liberal news. You know, you want to hear that some direction of politics is the best thing for society, even if it is actually destroying society, you'd rather not hear about that. You just want to hear that you're right. And like, does that mean like humans are flawed? Yeah, it does. We're heavily flawed. And that's just a crystal clear example, but people have to fight that. People have to actually look for the real answer as opposed to the one that they want. And often when somebody, like the most common nutrition thing that is searched for, as far as I can tell, because I did it by doing multiple searches and cataloging them on a spreadsheet, how to lose weight without changing my diet. That's a joke, right?
Yeah, that's where it's made.
If you're overweight, it's because you probably eat like an unsupervised child and you need to stop doing that. But that's not what people want to hear. So they search for something. And of course, there's hucksters out there that are like, oh yeah, you can eat all the pizza you want if you take this pill or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're saying challenge your thinking.
Yeah. In fact, there's a friend of mine that I wish wouldn't do this, but he jokes about eating pizza all the time. In the forum, you'll see this guy around. He's a chiropractor. You'll love
him. Okay.
I was talking about him earlier.
Yeah.
But it's a joke, but he's got a following that thinks he's serious. And they're eating pizza all the time. This guy has like one slice of pizza maybe every other day. And then the rest of it is like meat, and he still eats some vegetables. And he was on, when he's trying to get leaner, he goes on caloric restriction. I don't think he does intermittent fasting, but he's great. He's in great shape. But just his joke has derailed the progress of so many because it's what they want.
Yeah.
So my advice here is don't look for what you want. Look for the actual answer. And like when vegans and vegetarians, they go read the research that's published by Seventh-day Adventists who make it their religious mission, literally their religious mission to make everybody a vegetarian. Kraft and Nabisco are trying to make everybody into a vegan or a vegetarian. And it's because they know vegans and vegetarians don't eat kale. They eat cookies and cake. And they're very unhealthy people. And Kraft and Nabisco have no problem poisoning these people for the rest of their short, miserable lives. So instead of looking for the information that you'll want, which will tell you, if you look for it, tell you to eat all the crackers you want and cookies and, oh, you need your carbs and all the other lies on that subject. No, look for unbiased research. It wasn't funded by some big food manufacturer. And what do you know? The opposite is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the evidence is much stronger on the opposition.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting concept, and it's a real concept. You know, I'm an incessant learner. That's something that that I test everything.
You and I do what normal people should do. Just what's the right answer, not what answer do I want.
Well, cool. I want to thank you for being here, man. This has been a wild conversation. We went like way longer than I thought, but I'm all ears, man. I love learning, love listening, and glad to share this product and your story with our tribe. I think we'll have some converts that may have to test this thing out and go, holy cow, this is a real deal. And I hope we do. So I want to thank you for playing semi-nicely.
Like I said, I lay out what the research says. If somebody doesn't like it,
that's all right. Well, cool, man. I appreciate you. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, it's Dr. Josh Hantier, and we need to talk about your health, your fitness, and your lifestyle. I know you, if you're like me, you've seen sickness and disease and even death in your life. And we know the leading causes of death in the United States are cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Many of these conditions and diseases are considered lifestyle-based. And I know that lifestyles in the United States and other countries are not where they should be. We also know that they make you more vulnerable to other sicknesses and conditions. We tend to get our advice and recommendations on health from commercials and marketing, from fast food to pharmaceuticals, and not from experts with real world experience. Unfortunately, we follow people or products who don't walk the walk or talk the talk. They simply just don't care about your health. It's just about their bottom line. I know we've heard it from our friends and from even our own self-talk that we don't have enough time, we can't make the changes, or there's just too much to do to be healthy. But there is a way to actually take control of your lifestyle and have the accountability and the support you need. We can be bigger than our excuses. For the past 14 years as a chiropractor, I've worked and continue to work with thousands of patients with their lifestyle and ultimately their health. I am now bringing the same philosophy to the online space where we can work as a group to get better, stronger, healthier, and be bigger than our excuses every single day. I've created the 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program to be an online-based, training-based program where you get to learn and be engaged with others in your journey towards a healthy lifestyle and ultimately a healthier life. To be part of this amazing movement, it's just $5 a month. Yes, it's only $5 a month, and that seems too good to be true. Well, it's not. So for the price of a gourmet coffee, you will have access to an amazing program and amazing people that want the best for you too. So when you dive into the content below this video to learn about our lifestyle philosophy, you'll see that we are incredibly unique. No other online program focuses on lifestyle the way we do and delivers the quality and the quantity of content that we do for just $5 a month. And it's not just about the movement. There's a lot more. It's really about your health. So check out the details and other videos below. And when you sign up, I'll even send you the ebook, Inside the Locker, which dives deeper into creating an awesome lifestyle. I look forward to seeing you on the inside of the Lifestyle Locker 3065 Lifestyle Shift Program.